Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Yeah, hey, it's me, John. Can I get like a bad guy, but then make me kind of like him at the end? A little bit?
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, and that's it. Jamie is not here today. Guys, in over 8 years, Jamie has never one time missed a single recording of this show, but he is not here with me today. Jamie has experienced loss in his family, and he is taking a little bit of time off. Only, I would expect, this week, so you're listening this week. Jamie's not here, but he should be back next week. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Jamie, and we love him and can't wait for him to be back. But I'm going to try to tackle this one solo today, and I hope that you will bear with me. And today we have a crazy case in 10 minutes or less, and we are going to be talking about Christopher Scarver. So a little bit of background on Scarver. He was born in 1969 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was the second of five children, and he dropped out of high school when he was in the 11th grade. He didn't finish high school. After he dropped out of school, his mother kicked him out of the home. So this goes from kind of bad to worse all of a sudden. After he was kicked out, that's when some things got even worse. He started developing issues with alcohol abuse, started using marijuana. He tried to turn some things around. He joined a job training program with the Youth Conservation Corps, and he was trying to be trained as a carpenter. And he believed that after he went through this training, he would get a full-time job. But that opportunity never came to fruition. His supervisor left the company, and then his hopes kind of fizzled out as the supervisor left. Scarver got pretty upset with this, and he actually got pretty heated with his manager. His name was John, and he blamed John for the situation, and he believed that the supervisor leaving and his reasoning for not getting a job was all racially motivated, and it was betrayal. So he was angry. On June 1st, 1990, Scarver entered that same training center and he demanded money at gunpoint from a gentleman named Steve Lohman, who was just a regular employee there at the facility. Lohman only offered $15, and so Scarver shot him, demanded more money, and eventually forced his old manager, John, to write a check to him for $3,000. John Lohman, was shot several times and died, and Feynman Steve, the other employee, managed to escape. So Scarver was quickly arrested, and he was eventually convicted in 1992, and he was sentenced to life in prison at Columbia Correctional Institution. Here's where some things get interesting. While he was in prison, they were able to do some psychological assessments and realized that he struggled with mental health and was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and he would experience auditory hallucinations. He claimed to hear voices from a family of voices, and he would even describe himself as the Son of God and the Chosen One. These delusions played a significant role in his actions and sense of purpose while he was in prison. And this is where the case kind of crosses paths with probably one of the most recognizable names in true crime. In 1994, Scarver was serving his life sentence, again at the Columbia Correctional Institution, and that is also the same institution where infamous serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer was also held. So Jeffrey Dahmer and this guy Scarver were in the same place. And Jeffrey Dahmer's crimes were primarily involved Black and Hispanic victims. And as we know, Scarver gets upset when things seem racially motivated. On November 28th, 1994, Scarver and Jeffrey Dahmer and another gentleman, last name Anderson, were assigned to clean a bathroom in the prison gym, and they were unsupervised by the guards there. Scarver was somehow able to get a metal bar, and he used it to beat both Dahmer and Anderson to death. And at the scene, this just had to be a brutal thing for security and for prison staff to walk in on. He returned to his cell, and he reportedly told a guard, "God told me to do it. You'll hear about it on the 6 o'clock news. Jesse Anderson and Jeffrey Dahmer are dead." And Scarver maintained that his actions were divinely inspired. But there was some speculation that came out that perhaps the killings were either racially motivated, and some people believed that the police or the security, the correctional officers, were maybe allowing this to happen because they, of course, may not have liked Jeffrey Dahmer and Jess Anderson, who had all of these victims. So, you know, it's a possibility. Or, you know, we have a very mentally ill Scarver who was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and we know he was very capable of doing some evil things because he went into the center and robbed them at gunpoint. And when he didn't get enough money, he shot and killed one person and tried to shoot and kill another person. So Jeffrey Dahmer, dead in prison because of Scarver. In 2005, Scarver filed a lawsuit against the prison. He alleged that there was a lot of cruel and unusual punishment, though the case was ultimately dismissed. He did receive two other life sentences for the deaths of Jess Anderson and Jeffrey Dahmer. Scarver's killing of Dahmer and Anderson, of course, was all over the media. I mean, this was a time in my life where I remember hearing about things like this on the news. This case would also go on to highlight some of the issues and dynamics of prison in general, but especially in regards to mental health and racial tensions. So a lot of folks will ask, well, should these three inmates who were obviously very capable of doing very evil things, should they have been allowed to clean a restroom by themselves unsupervised? It seems like a lot, right? Like for me, I would think, why would three people who obviously have no problems killing a lot of people be allowed to be unsupervised at any point in the prison, especially in the bathroom where, you know, I feel like in any prison movie, that's where the most shenanigans happen, right, is the bathroom. But regardless of if this was some kind of collusion on behalf of correctional officers or if this was just an evil man who saw two people and was motivated for whatever reason to kill him, I don't know that we'll ever really know. And I would be willing to bet that it's the latter, that it was just a man who had evil intentions and his whole life struggled with mental health issues and never fully recovered from those and saw an opportunity to do something that he thought was good. But in spite of all that, it was still very much evil. He took two other lives that day, and he will remain in prison for the rest of his life. To be completely honest, I don't know if he's still alive or not. My research did not show anything about his death, so I'm going to assume he's still alive. Thank you for sticking around with me today. I know that you've probably missed the voice of Jamie, and I do too. So our prayers to him as he and his family mourn a loss, and we love him, and he'll be back next week, and you will get to hear the duo added again. In the meantime, if you would be so kind, we would love a rating and a review on iTunes, Spotify, Facebook, whatever. It really goes a long way in helping us spread the word about this show. Guys, we love you. And until next crime, would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.